This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:44. You are with Kelvin Cam and Iman on the Evening Edition. Now, for our next story, we're going to talk about Joe Low. So news recently surfaced that Low has a passport from Cyprus. He reportedly got it back in 2015.
Yeah, so according to reports, Low obtained Cyprus nationality under the country's investment for passport scheme. And the scheme had several requirements at that time, and that includes things like storing 5 million euros in a Cyprus bank for 3 years and buying a permanent home with 500,000 euros. Low reportedly bought a mansion with 5 million euros or 23 million ringgit.
So the Cyprus president has promised to revoke any passports found to have been mistakenly granted to wealthy overseas investors. The Cyprus government early this year reviewed the scheme and enacted more stringent vetting after an EU report warned that the program was used to launder money and flout tax laws.
Malaysia is big news now in Cyprus right now. It's front page news on the Cyprus Mail as of 2 days ago. Nice picture of this friendly looking face, man called Joe Low. It's causing waves out there, as you say, Kelvin, because the Cypriot government are a little bit afraid that they are being put in the position where the rest of Europe looks at them as being essentially a cheap backdoor into Europe.
Yeah,
for criminals. Cyprus is still reeling from a scandal just last month where 8 Cambodians from some rich background also managed to get passports. But does that mean that we in Malaysia will be able to bring this man to justice any sooner? Not so sure.
Yeah. So I think what complicates it is the fact that, you know, I wasn't quite aware how you would be able to get another additional passport, seeing that we don't have that system here, right, where you are allowed to hold multiple passports. Yeah. You are supposed to you're supposed to have a citizenship, then only you can get a passport.
Yeah, but like many other countries are offering this scheme where you can, you know, sort of invest in our country and we give you a citizenship or at least like a extended visa or resident status. And I mean, the reasons for that is obvious because of the foreign investment. But like there was a study in 2017 that was done in the UK to sort of like figure out the reasons why people would want to seek a second citizenship. And they found that people wanted to look for increased freedom and human rights, for travel opportunities and also business and career opportunities. So, and I guess for Julie, it'll be the business opportunities.
Yeah, but I mean, theoretically, a Malaysian is not entitled to have two different passports.
No.
And theoretically, the Malaysian government, if they are made aware that Joe Low now has a Cypriot passport, could take away his Malaysian passport. But, of course, if you take away his Malaysian passport, then you have less able to call upon him. So he is one Malaysian citizen who's going to be allowed to keep as many passports as he wants.
And, you know, I think for smaller nations in the EU, this scheme usually called a citizenship by investment program. They have brought in a lot of income for these nations. So in all, golden visa schemes have pulled in an estimated about 25 billion euros, about 28 billion US dollars over the past decade. So it doesn't really incentivize nations to stop doing this. But if, let's say, the EU does come down hard on them, then they could likely act right in the case of Cyprus as well, which is why they've begun to enact more stringent vetting starting from this year.
But like, even though it's beneficial for countries who want to attract this kind of citizenship by investment, I think they call it CBI, there is a need to strengthen the governance aspect of it, especially the due diligence, like to make sure that, you know, you don't attract the wrong kind of crowd, basically, like criminals or people who are trying to evade taxes. So, because from the reports that are covering Joe Low and this whole Cyprus episode, he hired a company called Henley and Partners to sort of like be the broker for his citizenship. And they reached out to Thomson Reuters through the due diligence and came back with a due diligence report and found that, you know, Jolo is a bit wonky in these areas. But they kept... But the brokers kept that information to themselves, did not share it with the Cyprus government. So it does raise questions about how then did the Cyprus government decide whether this guy is legit and this guy will be good for our country. So in terms of like encouraging dual citizenship or second citizenship or whatever, and if we are thinking of doing something similar to attract foreign investment, I think then there is a great need to tighten due diligence and good governance.
Well, I don't think Malaysia's thinking of doing that. We have Malaysia My Second Home, which is you put a certain amount of money in a bank account, you can get PR, but you don't get citizenship. Mm-hmm. But there might well be Malaysians out there listening right now, scribbling away on a piece of paper like, oh yeah, how do I get a second passport? And wanting information. And so, yeah, so as Ayman said, the company you want to get in touch with is Henley & Partners. This information comes over actually from Sarawak Report.
Yeah.
And of course, Claire Rucastle-Brown is British, and she's very interested in finding out aspects of British complicity with these things. God, so many British companies keep popping up in nefarious places. So, for instance, Henley and Partners is owned by the same company that ultimately owns Cambridge Analytica.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so, of yeah, course. Okay. You know, of course. So that's the company that Jolo keeps.
So we're going to dive into this a bit deeper, and we have online constitutional lawyer Niu Sin Yu. Sin Yu, thanks so much for joining us this evening. So there are these reports saying that Jolo has obtained a Cypriot passport, but you know, we don't allow dual citizenship. So what does all this mean if he has indeed obtained the Cypriot passport?
Malaysia doesn't just disallow dual citizenship. The federal constitution under Article 24... it allows the government to also deprive a person's Malaysian citizenship if such person voluntarily claim and exercise in any country, including Cyprus, any rights which is available to him under the laws of that country. So under Article 24 as well, when Jolo uses his Cypriot passport, he is deemed to have voluntarily claim and exercise a right that is available under the laws of Cyprus, being a right that is accorded exclusively to the citizens of Cyprus. So this would allow the government to have reasonable grounds to deprive Jolo of his citizenship if found to be true.
And if the Malaysian government does decide to revoke his Cypriot passport, what impact do you think it will have on our attempt to bring him back to the country?
Well, if we proceed on the assumption that Jolo is in Cyprus, there isn't any extradition treaty between Malaysia and Cyprus.
Yeah, because we don't know where he is at the moment, right?
We don't. There isn't really much information on this, you know, because everything is secret at this moment, until reviewed by the police. So, yeah, I think at this moment, all of us can just speculate as to his whereabouts.
But does having multiple passports make it more difficult to track Jolo down?
Well, passport is a travel document. It is usually issued by the government to its citizens, sorry, the country to its citizens, and that would certify the identity and nationality of the passport holder. These days, passports are biometric. It's biometric because it would authenticate the identity of the holder, and it would contain information like photographs, eye color, and fingerprints. So this biometric information would be the same information that is contained in an Interpol red notice. But the problem is that Interpol or countries being members of the Interpol, they would receive this notice, but Interpol cannot compel the law enforcement authorities in any country to arrest somebody who is the subject of a red notice. Ultimately, each member country of Interpol needs to decide what value or how much they want to do in order to give effect to a red notice and whether or not they want to make arrests based on the red notice. So it really depends on each country if they want to arrest somebody that a red notice has been issued.
So could you talk to us a bit more about how these citizenship by investment schemes work and how they can be abused? Because we've also read about other cases where other super rich criminals are able to invest their way into a country.
Well, I'm not an expert in Cyprus laws, but just speaking generally, such schemes basically means that if you pay a sum of money or you fulfill certain conditions, you'll be given certain rights by the country. In Cyprus, it seems to be that you are given a right to reside in Cyprus and a passport. And such schemes are common in many countries where, you know, you invest a sum of money. Usually it's quite a substantial amount and you'll be able to obtain, for example, a PR or a visa with multiple entries in that country. Of course, the danger of these schemes is that it can be abused if the applicant is a person of means, but for whatever reason is wanted by his or her country. So, obtaining a passport or obtaining a PR or visa to another country would provide them with an escape route, if I may put it that way.
So Cyprus President Nikos Anastasiadis has said that the authorities should revoke Jolou's passport. Now, you've mentioned before that it will be difficult to comment on laws in other countries, but in general, do governments have much say over how these schemes work and who gets to obtain their country's passport?
Well, ultimately, the issuance of the passport is something within that government's discretion. There could be laws or regulations governing the exercise of the government's discretion. You know, that is certainly the case for Malaysia. I can't comment on the laws of Cyprus, but I would imagine that any actions done by the government, including the revocation of passport, it needs to be something that is fair and something that is justifiable.
Sinew, thanks so much for speaking with us this evening. That was constitutional lawyer Niu Sinew. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.